Welcome to the podcast of Thousand Harbors Zen, featuring talks with Cohen France. This podcast is made possible by generous donations from our listeners. To contribute or to learn more about our community, please visit thousandharborszen.com.
Last week, we started to pick apart the Bodhisattva vows, and we talked about the first one. Beings are countless, I vow to free them all. And we kind of went word by word and found that maybe there were things that we didn't know. There were angles that we hadn't considered. So I want to do the same thing tonight. Tonight, what we usually say is, delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to put an end to them. We may not find quite as much tonight as last time, but I'm not sure. In Japanese, we say, Bonno Mujin Seigan Dan. So, Bonno is what we're saying for delusions. Mujin, inexhaustible. Seigan appears in all the vows. And this is the one that's the vow. And it's a combination of a character that means something like a pledge, and another one that has a feeling of a hope or a request. And then the last one, in this case, is dan. And dan is what we're translating as put an end to it, or put an end to them. Bonno mujin seigan dan. And as we're starting to talk, I invite you to stop and think for a moment about what this one has meant to you. I think when we say beings are countless, I vow to free them all, even if we don't have any idea how we're going to accomplish that, even if we don't necessarily know what it is that beings need to be freed from, there is something very powerful in the language. We can step into that and say, yes, I agree to that. I don't know what I'm agreeing to, but that's clearly powerful, right? It's so outward facing. And then we come to delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to put an end to them. So ask yourself, when you have said this before, when you've chanted this in the morning, what did you mean? What do you think delusions are? And what would it mean to put an end to them? I'll leave that there and we'll come back. But take this opportunity. I've been thinking about it all day. You know, what is my kind of emotional container for this when I say it? I think it changes. I have a very quick story that about this word bonno, which is where again we're saying as delusions. Once when I was in the monastery, it was time for a work period, and we would always show up in our work clothes and we had gloves, and we'd go outside, and a work leader would tell us what we were going to do. And I got there, and the work leader was down on his hands and knees, and he was squatting, and he was picking weeds. And I said, "What are we going to do today?" And he said, "Well, today we're picking bonno. Right? We're picking our delusions." And so I've always had this image in my mind when we talk about this term of this monk in this impossible task. You can never pick all the weeds. And if you do pick this weed, then you come back tomorrow and it's come back, right? It's endless. You can also fool yourself, because when you're picking weeds in front of the temple, you can make a kind of neat, clean spot. And for just a moment, you can say, I got it, right? Or you can say, well, I made my delusions a little better for today. And then, of course, you look over here and they go on for miles. But he was so patient, just one at a time, forever. Bonno, we say delusions, but it's a little more interesting than delusions, I think. You know, simply put, we would translate this as kleshas. And kleshas get translated in different ways. I looked it up to see different versions of this. A lot of teachers and a lot of groups refer to kleshas as afflictive emotions. I want to not talk about it that way, because emotion, I think, doesn't capture this at all. Sometimes they're talked about as hindrances. That's slightly more interesting. In the simplest terms, kleshas refer to the three poisons, right, which are ignorance, attachment, and aversion. When we say them in the verse of atonement, we say greed, hatred, and delusion. That sounds really good, but it's a little bit, it's a little distant. You may have days when you don't think that you feel particularly greedy, and you certainly may feel days when you don't feel hatred. I don't think that I have a lot of hatred. But if the question is, do I feel attachment? Well, that's all the time. Do I feel aversion? Yes, that's all the time. And ignorance? Absolutely all the time. Ignorance is at the base of the other two. Right. Ignorance is the foundation of everything that goes wrong. And if we're talking about kleshas, we can expand that if we want to. We can get very detailed. There's another list of five that has attachment, aversion, ignorance, and then pride and envy. There's another list that has 10. There's another list that has 50. There's no shortage of Buddhists in history who have tried to think of all the negative impulses and thoughts that we might have and to categorize them. But all, if you have the list of 50, or if you have the list of 100 or the list of 1,000, I think they all are resting on top of this basic list of three, of attachment, aversion, and ignorance. Sometimes bonno is also translated as things like worldly desires, you know, earthly appetites. Again, that has a very puritanical feeling to it, right? That the problem is simply that I'm such a base creature that I need to rise up above whatever that is. I need to elevate myself. And if I elevate myself, then I'll be there. It doesn't have that feeling of being chronic. Whereas attachment, aversion, and ignorance absolutely are chronic. We live with them from morning till night, from birth until death. So we say, bonno mujin segandan. We say the kleshas are inexhaustible. And inexhaustible is a really good translation for mujin. They're the weeds. Right? There's no end. There's no way to snuff them out. There's no bottom. I think we all know that that's true. We might hope that it's not. We might hope when we come to a tradition like this and we start hearing language like this, especially when we think, I'm going to end them. We might think that there's some magical path where if I meditate in just the right way, or I study in just the right way, or I hold my mind in just the right way, I'll be a kind of blank slate, making no mistakes, holding my mind perfectly upright, with no grasping, no pushing, and a clear view. But I have bad news about that. They're inexhaustible. So we make this vow, which we translate in, which we say as, I vow to put an end to them. And the first note, and because we talked about this last week, is there's nothing here that says it has to be I. It can be we. We can agree to do this. We can agree as a Sangha. We can agree as a world of beings to address this question together. And we should. So what does it mean to put an end to them? This is dan. Bonno mujin segan dan. And the dan is a really interesting little character because it has a lot of nuance. And I'll just give you a rundown of some of the things that are kind of implied by dan. The word, for example, for diagnose includes dan, or judgment includes dan. So there's an element here of seeing things clearly and determining what they are. There's also an element of abstaining from something, or of suppressing something, or in the way that we say it, to eradicate something, to wipe them out, as in the a word, for example, like extinction. What could it mean for us in practical terms to look squarely at this chronic condition or these chronic conditions and then say, I'm going to put an end to them? It's not that complicated. The thing about delusion is that delusion Let me start over. Ask yourself, what is the opposite? What is the opposite of delusion? What's on the other side? If we translate this word bonno as delusion, or if we hold those three together, what's the antidote? If you're like me, and I'm confident I'm not alone in this, from the very beginning, when I heard delusions are inexhaustible, I vow to put an end to them. What I heard was that there's ignorance, in a sense. There are mistaken thoughts. But I can get beyond those mistaken thoughts into thoughts that are not mistaken, into thoughts that are true, that are clear, that are right, that are accurate. Right? And depending on my mood, I might say this and aim it at myself, or I might imagine that because they're truly inexhaustible, and because beings are countless, that this work includes putting an end to delusion everywhere, for absolutely everyone. Right? It's spreading truth. It's figuring out what the truth is, and then sharing it. Right? Running through the crowd and picking the weeds from everybody's heads. I know I'm not alone in feeling that way, but the truth is that the opposite of delusion is not knowing, because the whole point of delusion is that delusion is knowing. Delusion is believing that you know. Ignorance only exists because there is a belief that something is true. If you never believed that, there couldn't be ignorance. So it begins with this idea that you know something. Attachment, if we're speaking in this very small loop here, attachment directly supports ignorance because I want to be right. I believe something and I want to believe that I am right, that I am not wrong. That's attachment. Aversion is not wanting to know if I'm wrong. So all three of these are tied up in a knowing, in a certainty, in an unquestioned view. That's what delusion is. That's what the three poisons are. So the opposite of delusion is not knowing. The opposite of delusion is not knowing. I think I said the same sentence twice. It's not knowing in that Zen way that we say not knowing. It's knowing that you don't know. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to put an end to them. Means that I recognize I have all these blinders and I vow to try to take them off. Not so that I can arrive at a new certainty, not so that I can arrive at a new clarity or a new truth, but so that I can rest in the ambiguity, in the uncertainty, in the possibility of truly not knowing. This is cracking ourselves open. We can do this individually, we can do this culturally. So much of what hurts in the world comes from unexamined, unconscious bias. That's the delusion. And it has power and it perpetuates because we don't challenge it. For whatever reason, whether it's our temperament, whether it's our upbringing, we're lazy. We see things in a particular way. We see people in a particular way. We see problems in a particular way. So that when something happens on the news and it's big and everybody's talking about it, we jump in and we say, I see what the problem is. Do you? Or do we need to breathe? Do we need to settle into a different kind of ignorance? One that is curious. One that doesn't jump to a new conclusion to replace the old conclusion. It's such a powerful and satisfying experience to somehow, because you're part of some narrative or because someone calls you out directly, to realize that you were wrong and then immediately to replace what was wrong with a new idea and to say, now I get it. Oh, this feels great. Yeah, old me, that's really embarrassing. He missed the boat, but now I see. There's an invitation here not to jump so quickly. There's an invitation to really rest not just in the not knowing, but in the awkwardness of that, in the recognition. And we say, you know, all my past and harmful karma, born from beginningless greed, hate, and delusion, born from these kleshas, born from these three poisons. We need to rest not just in the not knowing, but in the understanding that up until now, through our ignorance, through our attachment, through our aversion, we have been causing harm, or we have been complicit in harm, or we have been ignoring harm, or we have been not recognizing harm. It's a straight line between these two things. Not knowing what you're doing has consequences. And yes, we may never get to know what we're doing, but we can alleviate those consequences by knowing that we don't know and entering the next moment with that humility and again, that curiosity, the question of what else am I missing here? How much of my world is built on a lie to myself? This can apply to anything. It applies to your own narrative. It applies to your relationships. It applies to your ideas about status. It applies to your ideas about race, about justice, about gender, about religion. How many things do I choose to either think I know or to simply not question? Nothing is immune. There is no end to these weeds. There is no end to this work. It's very hard. I'll stop there.
You have been listening to a Thousand Harbors Zen podcast. Please visit thousandharborszen.com.